Good evening. Tonight I want to talk to you for a few moments about something that is kind of basic and fundamental, but very important. And that is the question, can we understand the Bible? And, of course, the answer is yes, yes we can. And so you might say, well, what's the point of the rest of this sermon? Well, there are people in the religious world, a lot of them actually, who would answer no. They would say, no, you cannot understand the Bible. That seems like an odd answer, because it makes the whole exercise of studying the Bible or reading the Bible pointless. But, of course, there's an explanation. Why would somebody say you cannot understand the Bible? Well, what they would say is you can understand the Bible, but you have to have something in addition to the Bible in order to understand it. They would say, for instance, the Roman Catholic Church would say that you need the church. You need the Roman Catholic Church, the bishops, the Pope, to explain the Bible to you. You have to go to the priests and you have to listen to their explanation, because if you don't do that, if you don't receive the official explanation of the church, then you're not going to understand it. You cannot understand the Bible on your own. And so that would be a different phraseology, I suppose, but it's still the same question. You cannot understand the Bible without the priest. It's not true, as we'll see. There are other religious groups that say something similar. The Mormons would say that without the Book of Mormon, you can't understand the Bible. The Jehovah's Witnesses would say without the Watchtower publications, you cannot understand the Bible. And then there would be others who would say something to the effect that unless you have the Spirit, in whatever sense that they say that you can have the Spirit, that unless you have the Spirit, you cannot understand the Bible. Well, the truth is that you can. You can understand the Bible without the Roman Catholic Church. You can understand it without the Book of Mormon. You can understand it without Watchtower Society. And you can really even understand it without being filled with the Spirit. Because the truth of the matter is that the way you come to the Lord, you come to have the Spirit of God, is by understanding the Scriptures. And so it's a chicken and egg kind of thing. You can understand the Scriptures. The seed can be sown and it can do its work. But to drive home this point, all I want to do for the rest of this sermon is just look at a series of passages and really think about them. Think about what they're saying with respect to understanding the Scriptures. And I want to begin with something that we read in the Bible. The Bible says that you can understand the Bible. For instance, God gave the Israelites the law. Moses went up on the mountain. He received the law. The law was written in books that Moses himself wrote. And in one of these books, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 29 and verse 29, the Lord says in this book that he had Moses to write, he said, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our sons forever, that we may observe all the words of this law." Now, there are a lot of things about God that we cannot and do not understand. And in this life, won't ever understand. Secret things, things that God has not revealed. But the whole point of revelation, the whole point of inspiring men like Moses and other prophets to reveal God's word, and especially the act of recording it, because that's specifically what God had Moses to do. The point of it is to give people a verbal message that they can understand. Moses says, the things revealed belong to us. They belong to us. They're for us. And specifically what they can do is they can tell us what we need to do so that we can do it. Now, it's a very straightforward kind of statement. There's not really a lot of ways to qualify that. The things that are revealed belong to you so that you can observe them. Now, in the next chapter, he gets even more specific. In chapter 30, in verse 10, he says, "If you obey the Lord your God to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law." And here's the book. This book, you know, Moses probably had it, written in this book of the law. "If you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul," and it says in verse 11, "for this commandment which I command you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it out of reach." Now, possible that you could take that simply in terms of it's not impossible to keep, it's not impossible to do. But the thing that Moses really emphasizes here is access. As he goes on to say in verse 12, "It is not in heaven that you should say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us to get it?' Who will go up to heaven for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it?" So when he says in this verse, it's not too difficult, and when he applies his point and he says it's not inaccessible, it's not something that somebody has to go get for us, it's right here. You have it. That certainly includes the concept of understanding it, because when it all gets right down to it, it's a practical matter of being able to do it. And if you have to do it and can do it, you first need to, of course, understand what it is that you need to do. And so here it is. This book, the things written in this book, are for you. And it's not somewhere, way off somewhere. It's right here. It's yours. It's not too difficult. It's for you to hear it. Nobody has to make you hear it. There's nothing that you have to do in order to some extra special sauce. There's not some kind of big challenging thing. Here it is. You can do it. You can hear it, and you can do it. And he goes on to say in verse 13, "Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us to get it for us and make us hear it that we may observe it?'" No. No. There's nobody that has to come and make you hear it or do something special for you to hear it. Here it is. You can hear it and you can observe it. Verse 14, "But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may observe it." Now, of course, my topic tonight is not the question, do you understand the Word of God? It's can you? There's no guarantee that you do, but you can. And that's the point. It's accessible, it's understandable, and it's ours. In our mouth and in our heart. And that's a very personal thing. It's not, the way that Moses says this, he's not saying, well, the priests have it. And they understand it. You don't understand it. You can't do it. It's not for you. It's for the priests. He's not saying that. He says it's for you. It's in your mouth, in your heart. It's for you to hear and for you to do. And that tells me that certainly you can understand it. Now, of course, this all applies to the law of Moses, but there's nothing materially different between the law of Moses and the law of Christ in terms of its revelation and our ability to understand it. Going on to chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 31 and verse 11, here's one of the commandments that's given in the law. "When all Israel comes before the Lord your God at the place He will choose, you are to read this law in the hearing of all Israel. Assemble the people," verse 12, "assemble the people, men, women, children, and the foreigners within your gates, so that they may listen and learn to fear the Lord your God and follow carefully all the words of this law. That, the presumption of that requirement is that the mere act of reading the law so that people can hear the law is sufficient for them to understand the law. And they can understand. Even children can understand the law, up to a certain point, of course. You have to be old enough to be able to understand the words and what's being said. But even a child can understand very much of what God is saying in His law. And that's why you read it to them, so that they can hear it and understand it. Verse 13, then their children who do not know the law will listen and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Just from a logical standpoint, we have to understand that our God is a powerful God, and He's a wise God. And if He has the intention of revealing a word that is accessible, that is understandable, and He gives it to people, and He says, this is for you, read this and follow this. It's not impossible. It's not beyond your means. I'm giving it to you, and I'm putting it in terms that you can understand. Here it is. Follow it. That God is wholly capable of revealing something like that. Now, I know that so often the emphasis of those who say that we cannot understand the Bible, the emphasis is upon our own limitations, our own inability. And it's true, we have limitations. Some of us more than others. But we all have limitations. But God is wholly capable of taking into account those limitations. He knows what they are. And He can speak to us in terms that we can understand. We do the same thing with our children. We know what their level of capability is. And so we speak to that level of capability, right? And if we're able to do that with our children, God's able to do it with His children. I can assure you. Moving on. In the New Testament, whenever these religious questions came up, whenever Jesus was challenged or asked about something, one of His more common refrains is, have you not read? Have you not read? Now, there's a lot implied in that question. And the main implication of those words, have you not read, is a statement to the effect that the information is there. You already have it available to you in the law of God. You should have already read this, which they had, but the point He's making is that you should already understand this. He doesn't say, well, I guess you didn't get the tract that I wrote on this subject, without which you could not have understood this, or you didn't get the official institutional interpretation without which you could not have understood this. No, He says, why haven't you already read this? Why don't you already know this? Have you not read that He who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And the inference from which God Jesus draws His point in talking about marriage and divorce, He says, this is plain, this is obvious. You should have already read this and known this. And as I said, this is something Jesus uses or says throughout His teaching. Moving on, Luke chapter 16. This parable or story that Jesus tells about Lazarus and the rich man. And the rich man opens his eyes and he's in torment. And of course, he doesn't like being in torment. He just wants a little bit of relief. But when he can't get that, then his next request is, I would like for somebody to go and explain to my brothers that they're in danger of coming to this place. That they're going to wind up in torment as well. And so he asks Abraham, can you please send Lazarus back from the dead to appear to my brothers and tell them about this terrible place and their need to change their lives so that they don't come to this terrible place like I have? And Abraham answers him and he says, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Now, again, the implication of that is very clear. They have means they have access. They have the words. They have the writings of Moses and the prophets. It wouldn't do them any good if they couldn't understand them, so clearly they can understand them. Because this is how Abraham is explaining to the rich man why it's not necessary for Lazarus to come back from the grave or for any other source of divine intervention to occur. They already have divine intervention. They have Moses and the prophets. And that's all that they need. And of course, the rich man argues with Abraham a little bit. And you should never do that. But he did. He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." You see, we need the special sauce. We need a miracle. We need some kind of extra effort on the part of God in order to make sure that people understand this. Well, Abraham says back to the rich man, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead." In this case, the main point is one of persuasion. Are the scriptures alone enough to persuade? And they are. But again, it's implied in that statement that they're understandable. There would be no persuasive power in a message that somebody could not understand. They could understand Moses and the prophets, and they could be persuaded by them. And in fact, that's the only way that they're going to be. And that's the way God wants it to be. And we need to accept that. What we need to do is we need to overcome this human inclination that we need more, we need something else. Because that's exactly what all of these religious groups are selling. They're selling the idea that the scriptures are not sufficient, you need us. No, we don't. We have the prophets, we have the apostles, we have the revelation. And it's understandable, and it's clear enough if we listen to it. Acts 17, the Apostle Paul and Silas, they come to Berea and they preach. Now, the Apostle Paul and Silas are prophets. Paul's an apostle. They work miracles, can work miracles. They're inspired men. And you would think that that would be all that a person would need. You know, you just hear an inspired message from a man who can work miracles. And yet, we're told here that the Bereans, it says, were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Now, in the modern world, or in the thinking of a lot of religious people today, the written word is somehow ineffective or insufficient. And so what we really need is we need somebody who's got the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or we need someone who's got some kind of special guidance. And yet what you see in this passage is the Bereans taking the Bible and holding it up even above the Apostle Paul, at least initially, and saying, "Okay, we're going to judge this guy by what this says." Now, that again implies that they could understand the scriptures and that they could understand them sufficiently to judge this revelation from Paul to see whether it's so or not. Without some kind of intervention, without some kind of special sauce, they've got it. They've got the scriptures. They can understand them. In fact, they can understand them so well that they can use them to assess this message from the Apostle Paul himself. And if that's true, and it is true, of course, yeah, we can understand the scriptures. Ephesians 3, 1 and 2. Here again, the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians. And he says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace which was given to me for you. Now, that stewardship of God's grace is His apostleship, His inspiration. He has the gifts of the Holy Spirit along with inspiration, the ability to work miracles. He is an apostle. He says, you've heard about that, right? You've heard that I have these gifts, that I have this power, that I have this revelation from God. It's a wonderful thing for Paul to have. But what does Paul do with it? What does Paul do with this gift of stewardship of God's grace that he has? Well, he says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery as I wrote before in brief. Well, the Apostle Paul got his revelation directly from God through the Spirit. Good for him. What does he do with it? He writes. He speaks, of course, when he was alive in this world. He spoke to people, but then he also wrote. So he says, I wrote. And then he says in verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Now, Paul's insight was profound. Paul's insight was amazing. Paul's insight was great in the mystery of Christ. Is that insight somehow unobtainable for us because we're not apostles, because we're not inspired, because we can't work miracles? Are we somehow second class in our ability to understand? Or, you know, the natural inclination of people is to say, oh no, Paul understood way better than we ever could. Well, wait a second. The only reason that Paul was enabled to understand was so that he could reveal. And the point of the revealing is so that other people could understand the same thing. And Paul says, you can. You can understand my insight. And the way that you do that is when you read. Now, Paul is not writing to some school of theology. He's not writing to some academic college full of fellows who had spent their whole lives studying the minutiae of the Word of God. He's writing to ordinary, everyday Christians. Some of them had grown up as pagans. Many of them were young. Some were old, some were young. A whole broad spectrum of Christians in Ephesus. And he doesn't qualify it. He doesn't say, now the ones among you who have spiritual gifts, you can understand, but the rest of you, you're just really not going to get it. He doesn't qualify it that way either. He doesn't say, no, I can write this, but you're going to have to wait till I come back and show up, and then I can explain it to you, and then you can really understand. He doesn't say that. He doesn't even say, no, I write this, but you really have to go to the elders or to the preacher. You have to go to somebody who can really explain it to you. Otherwise, you just there's no way you're going to understand it. He doesn't say that. He says, you can understand. Again, it's not a guarantee that you will, because there's some things involved in understanding it, and I'm, Lord willing, going to talk about that next week. But you see the point. You can understand my insight, which is a profound and amazing statement to say. You, when you read, you can understand my insight. 2 Timothy 3:14. You, however, continue in the things that you have learned. And here he's writing to Timothy. Continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, Timothy was an evangelist. He was a student of God's Word, and he was someone upon whom Paul had laid his hands and had imparted some spiritual gift, and so he was a pretty blessed individual. But notice what Paul says. He says, now, you continue in what you have learned, knowing from whom you have learned them. And you might think, well, automatically he's thinking, well, he's talking about the fact that he had learned these things from the Apostle Paul himself. So you know, you realize you've learned them from me. You've learned them from the inspired Christ-sent apostle, and knowing that you've learned them from me, you continue in them. But that's not what he's saying, and most of you are aware of that. Who did Timothy learn these things from? From childhood, you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Now, how did Timothy learn these things from childhood? Well, Paul refers to it earlier in his letter that his own mother and grandmother had taught him these things. They were the ones, not some inspired apostle, but his own mother and his own grandmother had taught him the scriptures, even when he was a child. And that's how you know these things. And that's the process by which the wisdom that leads to salvation is imparted to you. Just keep continuing them. And to me, that tells me that if the child, Timothy, can be taught by his mother and grandmother the scriptures and understand them and know the wisdom of God that leads to salvation through them, that tells me that anybody can understand them. All scripture is inspired by God. In the very next verse, verse 16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And it is. It is sufficient. It is adequate. It's not just adequate. It is wholly sufficient to accomplish what God wants to accomplish, which is our instruction, our training, our correction. It will do that. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. And again, there's a lot of people in the religious world who like to think that a direct inspiration or having someone who's inspired or having somebody who has some kind of special access or authority is so necessary in order for people to understand God's will. And yet Paul says you can either I can tell you myself in person or you can read my letter. Either way, follow this. Because when it comes right down to it, it's the words. It's the words that God uses to communicate His will to us. And it doesn't matter whether it's the Apostle Paul standing right here or the Apostle Paul's letter in our hands. The words are the same words. And the words are the words of God. And they can be understood and they can be practiced. And that's what we are required to do. So, that's my message. We can understand the Bible. You can understand the Bible. There may be a lot of things that you need to be doing to make sure that you understand the Bible, and we'll talk a little bit about that next week. But you can. And if you do, and if you do sufficiently to know that what you need to do is to repent of your sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, then do that. You know you need to do that. If you've read the passages, you know that. It's not too terribly complicated. If you believe in Jesus and are willing to turn your back on the devil, on the world, and on sin, and if you're willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, you can be saved. You can be saved tonight. And you don't need anybody to explain that to you any more than that. If you're willing to do it, come forward and say that you will as we stand and sing. I'm pressing on.